we are all familiar with the case of one company mining chrome. It's got over 200 trucks. It's out there in the open. Everybody can see it. It's taking place. Not only does the chamber strongly want, what's the word? We strongly disagree with what is happening there. We are of the view that if that is not dealt with, and the chamber does not have a police force, it cannot. Apologies. Yeah, thank you. The chamber cannot enforce any mining laws. We can only point out and say, well, there's illegal activity taking place. We cannot, as a chamber, take action against, for instance, one of those operations that is taking place illegally there. And we're of the view that, unfortunately, if some action does not take place against those illegal operations, it can only lead to the downfall of what we call the legitimate mining industry. So, Honourable Member, we would take something like that extremely seriously as a chamber. But as you know, the scourge of illegal mining, we can talk, we can try to identify, we can help with it, we can work with the authorities to try to contain it. But as we all know around this table, there are many other actors within government society that need to pull together to resolve this issue.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I'd like to touch on some of the issues that have been raised by the members. My colleague has touched on the compact, and Honourable Jafta had indicated that he would like to have a copy of the compact. We will provide it for you. There was also a question on the MPRDA that is before the NCOP processes. As the Chamber would like to highlight that when the process of the MPRDA started around 2012, the amendment, the Chamber of Mines was part of the process, and we were engaged extensively by the Department of Mineral Resources. We made our inputs before the bill came to Parliament in terms of public hearings, and during public hearings, the Chamber of Mines did make some inputs. Further to that process, now looking at the current process of the NCOP, the Chamber of Mines has made submissions in a number of provinces, and we will also be making some inputs at the select committees sitting in on the 27th as part of our processes as commitment to the mining industry in South Africa. There was also a question that came from Honourable Chairperson in terms of what is our engagement with the stakeholders from the labour sending areas, as well as the engagement with the traditional leaders and provincial structures. Chair, I'd like to say that in most cases, the engagement at the local level is normally handled by the mining companies themselves that drew labor from those areas. However, as part of our new journey, we have started talking to some of the provinces. If I make an example, in 2015, the chamber delegation as well as the mining industry had a briefing with the Premier of the Eastern Cape on the issues that you touched on of former mine workers and also the SLP programs that are in the area being implemented by the mining companies, as well as looking at sustainable projects that the mining companies that draw labor from those areas can implement to provide for mine workers that would have retired. And one of the projects that has been implemented by Anglo-American is an agricultural project within the Eastern Cape. So that process started in the Eastern Cape, but there hasn't been solid ones in terms of the other provinces. But my colleague can also talk to what the plans, near-term plans are in the Northern Cape or Northwest in terms of the regional presentation of the chamber. Directly in terms of the chamber's engagement with the traditional leaders, that as well has been successful to some extent if you look at the engagement that the chamber had with the Eastern Cape leadership. However, maybe it would be an opportune time now for the chamber to also start establishing relations with the National House of Traditional Leaders. The other issue that I'd like to touch on is that of the illicit financial flows, which the chamber takes seriously. We have commissioned a study to look at the alleged illicit financial flows, but today, Chairperson, through you, I will not be able to give the detail on that, but the chamber will be able to come and address the committee on the alleged illicit financial flows in the industry.
Apologies, honourable members. Frog doesn't want to move from the throat. if I may just continue addressing some of the issues that were raised. Honourable Jafta, a difficult question: how to deal with distrust? Yeah, my answer to you is not really going to give that question justice, but it is something that we are grappling with at the moment, certainly internally as a chamber. And the only reason why we looked at things like the Zambezi Protocol, the African Mining Vision, all these other inputs, even some of the more local issues in terms of historical perspectives of what has been happening in South Africa, which formed by far the majority of the input, actually, what has been happening in South Africa, is so that we can actually internalize it and understand, well, what do we actually have to do? I don't have an answer for you at the moment. But you will see, as the year goes on, you will see the outcome maybe of some of our thinking. So certainly, if by the end of the year I haven't answered that question for you, I will come and say, well, at least, you know, I think you've seen, you know, this is what we have been thinking about as a chamber. But we don't have anything concrete that we can share at the moment. But we are looking at this very vexed issue. Yes, unemployment is also concerning. What is the chamber's what is the chamber trying to do? Now, we do realise that the last few years in the mining sector, the mining sector was loss making, and quite hugely so. And I think in 2015, the mining sector was the only sector of the economy that was still loss-making like that. So it was still in dire straits. 2016 2017, towards the end of 2016, 2017 seems to be a year where things are changing. People are talking of green shoots. There has certainly been a change in some of the commodity prices that we've noticed. But clearly some of the sectors, platinum and others, they're still very, very marginal. But what we also have seen is a slowdown in the rate of job losses, which is important. But, you know, what is the problem, though? South Africa has the resources. what is the problem? And it also links to this issue, I think, of South Africa, Australia, some of the issues. I mean, sorry, let me not link it to that, because South Africa has certainly got historical issues. But let's talk now, current. What is the problem? The investment community does not have the confidence in South Africa, to invest in South Africa, amongst others. So we have a problem, I think, with confidence. And if we don't have confidence, people won't invest in the sector. We've got to somehow rebuild that confidence for everybody to want to invest in South Africa. If we build up that confidence, we'll have that investment. If we have that investment, we'll have the growth, yeah? And hopefully inclusive growth. And if we have that growth, we will have higher employment. So it's a journey, I think, that we have to take as a country, and hopefully we will actually start embarking on quite soon. But that in a nutshell, I think, is the problem. Illicit financial flows. On the empowerment and ownership of the sector, I'm not too sure if I'm really going to do that one justice. I think if honourable members that raise it can maybe just, you know, I don't know, re-raise it again, and then I'll try to deal with it. I'm just trying to remember what it was relating to ownership in the mining sector, colonial ownership. If the honourable member can just maybe raise it again, and then I'll try to answer it appropriately. I'll hand back to my colleague again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Chabana has spoken about the issue of the composition of our leadership. However, I wanted to also give a bit of a detail at levels lower than the council as to how we are doing as the mining industry in empowering women. If you look at the 2004 mining charter, we had a target of 10% women representation across the board. When we did the 2015 review as the chamber, that study found that we had exceeded that 10% target in terms of women representation. If I can give a bit of a detail, in 2002 we had 11,400 women in the industry. By 2015 we had 53,000 women, which is an overall representation of 18% performance. And that cuts across all the sectors, gold, PGMs, diamond, gold, as well as aggregate. 15% of that 53,000 figure was women in top management positions, and 16% was senior management, and 22% was professionally qualified employees, and 18% was skilled and technical areas. We are making progress. We could do better, but there are other programs in the individual companies in terms of fast-tracking women participation in the mining industry. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Bauchawan. Honorable members, I saw hands on follow-up questions. Honorable Matlala, Honorable Pikinini.
Chair, thank you, Nkosi Mandela. Chair, I have a problem. I don't want the Chamber of Mines here, the two delegates, to manufacture answers. I'm not convinced Honorable Chair. My suggestions, Chair, I'm not undermining the two delegates, but they must not manufacture answers. If they don't have, they must tell us they don't have answers. They must consult their bosses up there. So I would like, Chair, the DM also has suggested that we can arrange an urgent meeting with a Chamber of Mines, because this is the thing that it has been going long time ago. You can remember that this structure, Chamber of Mines, was established before the ruling party, and it was a white lily, and even today it's still white lily. These ones that are here, they're just window dressing. There's nothing that is convincing me that the Chamber of Mines is seriously going to address the problems, the needs, and the interests of the people of South Africa, the historically disadvantaged ones, including you, Mr. Chabad. So this is a very serious matter, Chair. So I don't want them to send us the unanswered questions here to the Secretary of the Committee. I would like me and the entire committee to meet with their bosses, the entire executive, in particular the boys' choir here. And the thing that Mama Zam was saying now, 80% of women were empowered by the structure. I'm not convinced, because I don't want, if you are talking of empowering women, we are not referring to women who are making tea, sweeping, and cleaning the cars of your manager in the morning and in the afternoon. No, we are not talking about that. These are people who must be in control of this institution. Those are women that we want them to be in charge of this structure, because the structure, it has been there for quite a long time, a lily white structure. And today you come and tell me and convince me to say, no, 20% of women are in senior position. Let's talk about this one. I'm referring to the current structure, the one that was elected some 2 months ago. This is not serious. It doesn't occur very well with this committee. I'm speaking on behalf of the committee. It doesn't occur very well. You remember I said, one, the issues of this, the things that were raised here, it has been raised since 1994, during Madiba's tenure as the president of this country. 99, those years until 2014, I thought the structure, the Chamber of Mines, will come up with some new ideas, and it does nothing convincing me. So let's go and reorganize ourselves. I would like to meet with the entire Chamber of Mines before, or even if we'll be in recess, Chair, you'll see how to arrange dates for us to meet with them. I'm not undermining you, but I'm saying don't manufacture answers yet. I'm not even going to ask anything, Comrade Chair, because this is a serious matter. I don't know what must be done, but let's arrange Chamber of Mines to come and sit in a we can meet them in Johannesburg. We don't care. We can fly to Johannesburg and meet you where you are and raise serious issues, because long time the president was speaking about transformation of the country. So now, since the president became the president of the country, Honorable Jacob Zuma, even the previous president, but still the structure is still intact, defending white monopoly capital. And you are telling us that, though, you are transforming the structure, you are transforming the institution. No, you are not. So this is a very serious matter, Comrade Chair. You must rearrange your diary so that you can go and meet them. Please, don't manufacture answers. We are not going to make some follow-ups on behalf of the committee, because I'm not convinced. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Kekenene. Thank you very much. I spoke about the matter of colonizers. So I wanted to say, in the manner that you responded to our questions, particularly the one of this Zambezi Protocol. it's become clear that it's not your own part of body, as you explained to us. So I don't think we must also go through that particular question, because the clarity was given, and I don't think I must waste my time on that particular one. The other matter is that really there will be no way that we deal with this matter of this ambition as your own chamber of mind document, which it is not. So in my view, I'm very clear that we can't make you to make sure that you own it. You can't at no given stage. I think let's focus to our work that we're busy doing, that we have mutual cooperation, mutual trust on it, so that we're able to deal with that properly and able to take this country forward. I think that's a good point that we have in this country. You know, now we always agreed that there is a mutual cooperation that took place between us, not starting from today, starting from long time ago. Issues of mining shaft, a lot of matters that we spoke about, and I think there is a way forward, which is very constructive in its nature, and also the matters of transformation that are taking place. You know, we can't want everything to happen in one time, but I think we're very clear that we are moving forward with the DMR together with you. And in my view, I think if we are going to that kind of extent, we can't change this document of Zambia and make you your document. I think we need to talk to our own merits and demerits of our own issues and our own matters. And those few ways, I want to say, I have nothing to say.
Thank you, honorable members. Perhaps just to add on the follow-up questions about Chabad. You're still speaking about local mining communities in reference to the 3.7 billion in royalties. And I don't get any assertion in terms of what ought to be happening in labor sending areas, which I've previously made an example of the Eastern Cape, where I come from, to be a contributor of 30%, 38% of migrant laborers into the sector. So what is the Chamber of Mines doing in terms of ensuring that labor sending areas are benefiting from this? But also, let's tease this one out thoroughly. You're speaking of 45 billion, which is still to be distributed to 3 million people. If I may gain an understanding, you know, sitting here in Parliament, we deal with budgets year in, year out. You're talking of budget, the yearly budget, and sometimes we talk of 3 to 5 year budgets. It's 45 billion you're speaking to. How has it been utilized by your mining houses over the past 5 years to reaching the targeted people? And what is the envisioned outcome in terms of that allocation currently in the past 3 years to 5 years? Because you may make reference to a 45 billion rand that is sitting there. 3 years later, it can be 55 billion, which is now looking at 4 million people. It's still not saying to us that that money is being utilized. It's reaching the intended beneficiaries. So I'd like to understand, in terms of your own strategy, how are you wanting these funds to reach the intended beneficiaries? But my real
a critical question to yourselves and the presentation you posed to the committee today in terms of the Zambezi Protocol, and we have established that it is born out of the Prenthurst Foundation, founded by the Oppenheimer family. And I'm trying to ascertain your willingness to move from family entities. As I made an example, it could be the Oppenheimers today, tomorrow it could be the Rupert, as we have the Guptas today. How, as the chamber, can you shift from that and focus on government entities that are established by the department, such as the MPRDA, the Mining Charter, and Mine Health and Safety? But particularly of interest is what the DM was saying, that African countries, through their governments, represented in the African Union, have overwhelmingly embraced the African mining vision. And that is what has set the bar in terms of working towards on this sector. I'd like to therefore understand as to your willingness to shift from the Zambezi Protocol to embracing these others. We do understand also that having had the MPRDA sent to the NCOP, it could then be gazetted. What is your position in terms of the MPRDA and the local legalities that are in place? Because I think we cannot, as we strive to attain a radical economic social transformation, start bringing a whole lot of things onto the table. We have to identify a vehicle that is going to ensure it brings about a better life for our people. And I think the department right now has been clear on what the legalities are in place that it is championing to bring about transformation of the sector. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. thanks to the inputs by Honourable Matlala and Honourable Pignini. I guess maybe just to say, Honourable Matlala, Honourable Member, I certainly agree with you. We must not come here and manufacture answers, and we certainly have no intention to do so. So I think it is absolutely important that we make the leadership of the Chamber available. And trust me, they want to engage the Portfolio Committee. They want to present themselves to the Portfolio Committee. And it's a matter of just trying to enable that to happen as sooner rather than later. Honourable Chair Nkosi Mandela, the labour sending areas and how they benefit. It's quite a complicated one, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, we mustn't underestimate the fact that we have in the mining industry, in particular gold and platinum sectors, such a large intake of migrants, particularly from, say, the Northern Cape. I think the remittances and the salaries from mining are absolutely crucial to the economies of those labour-sending areas. And I really wish I had some of the figures here, but we have looked at them in the past and realized those remittances, those salaries are of critical importance to the economies of those areas. Because, you know, in some instances those areas are not really as thriving as much as we would want them to do in terms of agriculture and other economic activity. We've seen how in Mozambique I think I don't know what the figure is, a cluster, but something like 4,000 odd Mozambican workers that come to our mines, and again, these are migrants now from Mozambique. We've been told by the Mozambican government how important those remittances are from those mine workers. I mean, those same mine workers, when they receive their salaries, they are the main breadwinners, not only in their families but also in those communities. They are the ones that do, that have the money to drill the boreholes to provide water for those communities. So that impact is actually quite large of those mining employees when they go back to the labor-sending areas, per se. But I think also now, currently within our legislative framework, remember that in terms of our social and labor plans, we are obligated by the MPRDA to look at local economic development projects and other related social projects, development projects, not only in our host communities, but also in our labor-sending areas. So each mining company has to analyze and have a sense of how many workers come from the labor-sending areas. And you've got to look at implementing projects in those labor-sending areas. So we know for a fact that a lot of mining companies have a lot of projects in labor-sending areas. We as a chamber have not been able to articulate it that well, but it's maybe something that we need to be able to do a lot more. So again, and just in terms of projects in those labor-sending areas, I think those are absolutely critical. We do often look for collaboration projects in labor-sending areas. The Chamber has been involved in one or two where they try to foster that collaboration. But that's the only bit that I can talk of today in terms of our labor-sending areas. And I think, you know, we can look at, we can again just rather look at answering that question more fully, but that's really our first cut at its chair. The 45 billion. this is one topic I did implore the community to give us opportunity to send you some documents so we can explain more fully what has been done. Because, firstly, but please, I do want to make clear that that 45 billion does not relate to mine workers. It does not relate to the mining sector, that amount of 45 billion. So how it is used, what happens to it, I really cannot say. A lot of this money is sitting in pension funds. Now, the money that is linked to the mining sector, the 3.2 billion, that is the one that I think we want to just tell you about, the various initiatives, the roadshows that the mining companies have put in place, the systems that the mining companies have put in place to try to find those employees, ex-employees, their families, their dependents. We've got some case studies, we've got some success stories, some lovely success stories of grandchildren that have been managed to be traced because they saw the link. My father worked, my grandfather or father worked in the mine, and then they received those monies. Those monies are due to those beneficiaries. The challenge is just essentially trying to find them. And the paper that we're going to send to you just is going to talk to the various initiatives that have been undertaken to try to trace beneficiaries so that they can have those unclaimed benefits. Because those monies there are sitting in various pension funds. Going forward, Chair, clearly it's a different story. In the current modern day of South Africa, it's a very different story. Employees are aware, they know that their salaries, part of their salaries are going to pension funds. The trade unions also help them to educate employees about current benefits. So current employees, and certainly in the last few years, current employees going on pension and the like are not adding essentially to those numbers. I mean, so this is more of a historical issue. So current employees, I don't think we have this problem of of current employees that are retiring, certainly not receiving those benefits, because with them it's a lot easier. I mean, we've got IDs, we've got residential, we've got that correct information about the employee. So there's absolutely no excuse, you know, currently, why this should be perpetuated. But we will do a paper that is a little bit more substantive on that. Honourable Chair, the Chamber's shifting from the Zambezi Protocol to embracing current policy and legislation. Chair, this is an easy one. It's a no-brainer for us. We have no obligation, no allegiance to the Zambezi Protocol, none whatsoever. I mean, I think we want to make it clear, it is an input. It is an input. We support the MPRDA. We support the mining charter. You know that previous iterations of the mining charter, they were the product of negotiations amongst the mining sector, the trade unions, and the DMR. And we were signatories to those documents. We're not signatories to the Zambezi Protocol. We were signatories to the mining charter. Yes, as we all know, that we have to work through current challenges relating to, say, a current charter. But the industry embraces the mining charter. We will deal with those challenges, but understanding that we embrace the ethos of the mining charter, we embrace certainly the ethos of the MPRDA. So I just Chair, it really doesn't take anything of us to embrace these other instruments, because we definitely do embrace them. I want to make that clear. Thanks, Chair. MPRDA, I'll just let my colleague talk to the MPRDA.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. The MPRDA, in terms of our input as the Chamber of Mines, when the President referred the bill back to Parliament, citing procedural issues as well as two substantive issues, one being the definition of the Act, the MPRDA, as well as the amendment on Section 26, which is for beneficiation. We are of the same view as the President that those two provisions could be challenged at the Constitutional Court, as we regard them as unconstitutional. For example, the definition of the Act is likely unconstitutional in that it elevates the codes of good practice as well as the housing and living condition standards to that of the national legislation status, and that there are powers being given to the minister to amend or repeal these instruments as the need arises, effectively bypassing the constitutionally amended mandated procedures to amend such legislation. So we are in the same view with the President that that provision is likely to be challenged at the Constitutional Court. The second one that relates to Section 26 2B and 26(3) of the MPRDA, we are of the same view with the President that it is inconsistent with South Africa's obligations under the international agreements, specifically the Trade, Development and Cooperation Agreement, as well as the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, because they impose quantitative restrictions on exports, and will likely be challenged at the international forum. We have made our submissions to the provincial legislatures. We participated in the Eastern Cape, in Gauteng, in the Free State, as well as in the Western Cape. But in the other provinces, we only send our written submissions. And we will be appearing before the Select Committee on the 26th of this month to further elucidate on these two provisions that we had challenges with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think on the issues of the MPRDA, it has been exhausted in terms of us in the National Assembly, and has been referred to the NCOP. Once it's returned from the NCOP, it will only be gazetted then. On our own deliberations, I think we exhausted the matter and found that it will muster international scrutiny. But with that said, we leave it to the NCOP to be returned to us, and we will proceed with that. Honourable members, I think on this presentation, let us thank the Chamber of Mines for having taken their time to come and introduce themselves as the new leadership and the new structure that has been appointed. We look forward to further engagement and deliberations with the chamber. And as passionate as Honorable Matlala is, we will look at the diary of the committee, and through the secretary, when we find possible dates, we will engage with your office to see as to when we can be able to meet with the president and his three vice presidents to take our discussions further. Honorable members, that concludes this session in terms of the presentation on the Zambezi Protocol. You are most welcome, Bauchabane and Maunzama, to sit with us as we conclude the other issues on our agenda. But as I've said, there's refreshments at the back for those that want to assist themselves. Honorable members, we need to deal and go through the minutes of the 31st of May 2017. So if we may go through that. Page 1. Page 2. Honorable Matlala.
Thank you, Chair. Opening and welcome. The chairperson opened the meeting and welcomed all present. He announced the bereavement of Ms. Nyambi's father. Of Nyambi's father.
Thank you. Page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5.
Page 4, Chair, I'm sorry, on the other
side. I'm sorry, Chair, on page 4, on the resolution bullet number 2, where it says the researcher should provide the committee with the big picture on the concerns that the committee needs to consider before it can select issues for immediate. Now here we don't have an E, it says immediate. At E there, check. Immediate focus in 2017 to 2019. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Beginning.
Thank you very much, Chair. In resolution, Chair, the committee, number one, the committee secretary should take it out.
Thank you. page 5. Any mover? Honorable Matlala.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoptions of the minutes of 31st May 2017 with amendments. Thank you.
Any seconder? Honorable Chafta.
Thank you, sir. I second the adoption of the minutes with the amendment.
Thank you. Matters arising. Nah. Okay. Thank you, honorable members. I think we move to the last item of announcements. Next week, we were scheduled to have a joint sitting with finance, police, trade, and industry. But it has been cancelled as there are challenges in having all of us sitting at the same time. Conveners of the joint sitting will try and reschedule this again for a future date to be confirmed. It therefore means that next week we will then have to fill in that a slot which the committee secretary will inform us on the new agenda. There seems to be a petition that has been submitted for the attention of both mineral resources and environmental affairs. So we will probably slot that petition in to attend to it. Also, in terms of the application for the study tour to Australia, the committee secretary is still busy with that. But the dates that have been targeted is the 29th of July to the 5th of August. We will then be informed as we get closer to the dates. And in terms of our oversight to the Northwest for next week, the application has been submitted and we are still awaiting political confirmation or political approval in that regard. Again, the committee secretary will keep us informed as to the approval of it. Honorable members, that is all that was on our agenda for today. I therefore adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Hey,